pray with you. So during Monday through Friday, I spend my time at USAA, and I work in a department called Bank Innovation. And so what we do is we look at all kinds of technologies, and we see if we can use them to try to answer problems that our company is facing. And it was pretty funny because about a month ago, our boss's boss decided he was going to come tour our area. And so this guy is the president of the bank, and we find out that he's going to come and tour with us, and immediately the whole department goes into code red alert. And so immediately what happens is we decide, how are we going to make ourselves look better than we actually are? And so for about a week, there were meetings every day to figure out what kind of stuff we needed to have in the Innovation Center and what things we were going to show them and what we were going to do. And the day of was hilarious because about 8 a.m. you see this whole team of people show up. And they start dropping off in our innovation area all this cool technology. We had flying drones. We had 3D printers. Has anybody heard about these 3D printers? They're amazing. You take like weed-eating plastic, it looks like one of those rolls for your weed eater, and it can just print almost anything that you want, scan it. I mean, they've actually made it, you can pull ball bearings, you can print machines, all kinds of neat stuff. So really within an hour, our whole department's completely transformed. We got robots driving around, we got all the neatest things you could ever imagine. He shows up, we walk him through it, he's amazed, this is so wonderful, awesome, great. He leaves, they wait for 30 minutes to make sure he doesn't come back. They load it all up and leave. What I laughed at is literally after he left, what we were left with were three computers that didn't work. One computer that did, but the keyboard's batteries were dead, so you couldn't use it. And one broken Surface that couldn't do anything. And what was hilarious to me about it was, this leader, what were we trying to do? We were trying to impress them. And instead of actually trying to show them the reality of what we do and where we work, and which isn't bad, but it wasn't good enough, instead of trying to show them reality, we built a facade to present to them. Something that we wanted to show them so that they would think highly of us. And it kind of struck me because in life I feel like so often we try to do that with those that we look up to. Whether it be a boss, whether it be a president, whether it be a king, whether it be our God. So often we try to present something that really isn't reality. And the reality we try to hide and sweep away, and even sometimes we do that to ourselves. We try to ignore the real truth that's there. And what I want us to look at today is part of the beauty of these shepherds who are present for the birth of Jesus Christ. And honestly, part of the most beautiful thing about the birth of Jesus is that Jesus came into this world with no pretense. And Jesus came in with no desire to try to make anything look more amazing than it was. He just wanted it to be real. And I think that's an amazing message for you and me to look at in life, because it relieves some of that pressure to try to always be better than what you are and realize that you can come to God just as you are. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be with all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared of angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Do you guys remember about, what now, 6-7 months ago? The fuss around William and Kate's baby. Remember, Prince William and his wife, Kate Middleton, were pregnant, and everybody was awaiting the birth of this child. It was amazing to watch how the world reacted. Literally, they were trying to guess when she'd be going to the hospital, and then there was the breaking news, she's on the way to the hospital, and then there was the breaking news, she's been there for 24 hours, and you just literally had this time track of everything that was going on. And literally what was amazing is it impacted the entire world. Every country was figuring out how would they recognize and honor the birth of this child. Everybody was preparing to show how they could say how amazing this baby was. But when you think about all the births that have ever happened in the history of mankind, is there any that could have been more glorious than the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
No.
Absolutely not. And yet, what's amazing is at the birth of Jesus, what we see is not kings and queens. What we see is not gold and majesty and all the earthly treasures that you could imagine. Instead, you see a baby laying in a manger. And you see a group of shepherds that are there to bless and worship this child. Brothers and sisters, shepherds today, we've completely lost the connotation of what these men are. Because in our world, we don't use them. We don't acknowledge them. We've never seen them. We don't have to experience them on a day-to-day basis. But shepherds in Israel were the lowest of the low. They had a job that people needed because they provided sheep, which were necessary for worship in the temple. But basically, nobody wanted to be around them. They stunk. They were worthless, they weren't educated, they were a group of people who were out on the stretches of the countryside, and nobody just wanted to be around them at all. The rejects. They're the last people that you would ever imagine to be at the birth of Jesus Christ. Yet think about this, of all the people that God could invite, they're the only ones that He personally tells, please come to the birth of my child. Please come and be present for the birth of my child. I want us to look at that because there's two main things I think that we can understand as to why God did that. The first is if we look at John 3:16, I've clicked the button so many times now, it's catching up to me. There we go. If we look at John 3:16, there's something I want you guys to catch here. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That one we all know and we've all memorized. Shoot, if you were watching football yesterday, did you see banners in the stands that say John 3:16? Absolutely. But a lot of people don't catch the beauty of the next verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. See, brothers and sisters, there's something about the kingdom of God that is completely and utterly different than how every other kingdom we've ever experienced works. If you look at any other king, if you look at any other leader, where does their power come from? Their power comes from what the people give them. And so what you instead see with earthly kingdoms is kings who take power and wealth from their people and use it to glorify and magnify themselves. But what we learn about Jesus is He came not to make us work for Him, not to place judgment upon you and I, but instead He came as a king to serve. He came as a king to come into a world that was broken and in pain and lift it up. If you have your Bibles with me, flip with me to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, there's a sermon Jesus gives that is so important because it lays the groundwork for who Jesus is as a person. And it lays the groundwork for the kingdom that He is building. And Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." See, brothers and sisters, what I want you to understand is Jesus' whole life was about flipping the world upside down. He came to take the world as we knew it and flip it up on its end. Because no longer were we going to be here to celebrate and honor those who had wealth and earthly power. No longer was the focus going to be on material blessings. No longer was the focus going to be on a kingdom that we could see here on earth. But rather the focus was going to be on the heart. Jesus came not for the rich and the healthy. He came for the poor and for the sick. And what's beautiful about it is not only does he tell us that in his sermons as an adult, but it's something that his father foreshadowed even in his birth. By showing us the people that will come this morning to see this man are not the most powerful in the world, but are actually those that are forgotten about the most. These are his people. See, brothers and sisters, it's important for us to remember that before Jesus came, there was a different way of thinking about being godly and being blessed. And it's an important thing for us to understand because we still do it today. Before Christ came to clarify things, many who believed in God thought, if I'm a good person, good things happen to me. And when we say good things, we mean earthly good things. If I'm a good godly person, I'll have money. If I'm a good godly person, I'll be healthy. If I'm a good godly person, my life will be full of peace and comfort. And so throughout life, when you would see these people who were sick and broken and poor, not only was an earthly judgment made upon them, but so was a spiritual one. You'll remember there's a story in the New Testament where Jesus walks by a man who is blind and the disciples ask him, who sinned, him or his parents, that he ended up blind? See, their immediate way of thinking is, oh, he's sick, he must not be a good person. That was the world that Jesus came into. And with a sermon like this, what he was saying is, brothers and sisters, that's not how it works. We live above this world. And the blessings that I come to give you and bring you are far more than gold and treasure of this earth. They're the things of the Spirit which can't be touched. Now, brothers and sisters, I share this with you this morning because I'll be honest, there's at times I need to be reminded of that. I don't know, do you ever look at your bank account and go, how is that the number that's in there? I mean, do you ever have that sadness when you get paid and you see for like 10 seconds this big bank account and then immediately you start paying the bills and then like 30 minutes later there's nothing in there? Don't you sometimes feel as a Christian like, I'm a good person. I love the Lord. I respect the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. Shouldn't life be easier than this? Let's be honest for a second. Who felt like this week the world just beat you up a bit? Hey, that's pretty good odds. It's a good week for us. Sometimes you just have that feeling, and don't you just fall down on your knees and look up at him like, God, what's going on? What's going on? And what makes it worse is we try not to be people like this, but you can't but help notice the lives of others around you, right? And do you ever see that person who's just a terrible person and life's going pretty good for them? And what's that do for you? It eats you up, doesn't it? Because you want to go, God, I love you, I worship you, I serve you, I submit to you, and my life is really rough right now. Meanwhile, this guy doesn't even know you, curses your name, and he's living the high life. We sometimes need to remember the blessings of God are not the blessings of this earth. And the kingdom that Jesus came to bring, and the hope that he came to bring was not that you and I would be successful here, but that we would actually rise above the ways of this world completely and utterly. That what you and I would treasure would not be things that could be rusted and deteriorated and destroyed, but that would be things that are in the heart that no man can touch, that no sickness can destroy, that no time can take away. They'd be two treasures that last for eternity. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" See, brothers and sisters, what Jesus wants us to acknowledge in our own hearts is when we look in that mirror, do we see people who've got it all together? Do we see people who are perfectly set in life and are ready, can take everything on their own shoulders and don't need any help? If that's what you see when you look in the mirror, then you're not going to need God in your day-to-day life. Because what you're going to tell Him is, "I got this." What we need to have in our lives is the ability to look in the mirror and go, "I need help. God, I need You to get through. I need You to help me make this path each and every day of my life." We need to be the ones that, whether we're physically healthy or not, what we realize when we look in the mirror is, "Spiritually, I'm sick, Lord. I need You." The second thing I want us to see is Jesus invited shepherds to His birth because He was a shepherd. The reason shepherds are at the birth of Jesus Christ is because of all the jobs you could ever imagine in life, that's the one that's closest to what Jesus is meant to do. I have a picture here of a man by the name of Thomas Mott Osborne. He was in the New York State Commission of Prisons in 1914. And he was given the task of trying to go into prisons and reform them. Because back in those days, prison was a very, very bad place. It wasn't so much like today where they have TVs and internet and they get degrees and everything is taken care of for them. It was a very rough place where tons of people died. And it was very brutal. Well, when Thomas Mott got this job, the first thing that he decided to do was to figure out what prison life really was like. So you know what he did? He created a false identity, had himself arrested, and thrown into prison, and lived there for a month. Nobody knew that he wasn't a prisoner. Nobody knew that he was a commissioner. He lived in the cells. He ate the food. He did the work. He lived their life. And when he was asked about this, he said, "The reason I did that is the only way to truly understand what it was like was to be one of them. To truly be one of them." He said it was crazy because I knew at any point I could tell the warden and I could be freed. But there was those moments at night when the lights were off and I was locked in my cell that I realized this freedom I have is so fragile. And right now I'm just a prisoner like any one of them. I share this with you because this is what Jesus did. Jesus came down to this earth and He came to be our God. And He did it not from above, not experiencing, not away from our experiences. I mean, do you ever realize the reality that God Almighty was willing to let go of so much of His power and ability to become human like you and me? I mean, do you ever think about how crazy it is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the man that walked on water, that healed the blind, that healed the lame, the one that defeated death, at one point literally was a baby. Literally a human child in this world. He was willing to risk all that so that why? That you and I would have a God we could relate to. A God that knows what it's like to be cold and to be hungry. A God that knows what it's like to deal with the pressures of this world. A God that knows what it's like to be ostracized and made fun of and pushed aside. A God that's experienced all the earthly pains that you and I have. Jesus came to this earth to be one of us and then to save us. Brothers and sisters, there's a reason that people didn't like shepherds. You know why? They stunk like sheep. They literally smelled like them. But you know why they smelled like them? Because they lived with them. They cared for them. They were with them day in and day out. Instead of keeping their hands clean, they were there with them every moment of their lives. Jesus tells us that He is like this. Flip with me to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 11.
It says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns them. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus tells us he is the good shepherd. We are his flock. Later on in Luke chapter 15, he says this. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Brothers and sisters, the beauty of our relationship with Jesus is we have a God that knows just what it's like to live life like you and I do. And that means when you're having that week where you feel like the world's beating you up, you don't have to kneel before God and try to be something other than what you are. It means when you're having that day where you just feel like giving up, you can look up at Him and go, "Father, I feel like giving up." When you have those temptations, when you have those weaknesses, when you have those moments where you feel like breaking, you can be real with Him. And you can just share with Him the truth of your life. Because Jesus is our shepherd, and He came not just so that we would bow down and worship Him, but so that literally we would walk with Him and know Him. I was watching a video of real life shepherds in Israel. And it was amazing because they had all come together for a meal. And so you see these three men, and you see this mass of sheep. Well, after they're done, what they decide to do is go their own separate ways, and you see the three men start to walk and slowly split off. Without a single word, you know what happens to most of the sheep? They order themselves and start following their shepherd. When they get to the top of the hill, the shepherds would look back, and they'd, of course, see a few stragglers here and there. I tend to think that would probably be me, that sheep that didn't get the message. And you know what each of them would do is they would then make a call out to their sheep. And now the calls are kind of weird. So like one would be like, I'm sorry, my voice isn't very good. But it'd be a very loud noise like that. And what was amazing is you would see the sheep that were his and his only immediately perk up their heads and start walking their trail. And one by one, each of them would do this until each of their sheep had come because they recognized the voice of their shepherd. Brothers and sisters, do you know Jesus like that? Do you know Jesus for the man that He was and the life that He lived? Do you know His real voice? Do you know His real heart? Because see, brothers and sisters, in this country, there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they don't know that voice. They know what Jesus did. They know who Jesus is. They know all the stats, all the figures, and all the facts. But if they were to walk into a room with Him, it'd be like meeting Him for the very first time. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to this earth to get dirty.
Amen.
He came to this earth to walk with you and with me. And what He's looking for in your heart is not some facade where you try to make yourself out to be something you're not. But He's looking for the people who will bear themselves to Him honestly and openly and say, "Father, this is who I am." And brothers and sisters, the beautiful part of it all is when we do that, when we allow Him to become our shepherd, you know what He does? He pulls us out of the darkness. He pulls us out of the lostness, and He leads us on a new path to a beautiful place. He leads us to where the pastures are green, where the waters are rich, and where life is full. If we are just willing to let Him be our shepherd. Brothers and sisters, so often we forget that our God came not just to be the Lord of Sundays, but to be the Lord of our lives 365 days. Every minute, every second, every breath. Stop trying to present to God something that is not you. And present to Him who you are right now in this moment with the heart that you have, both the pains and the joys. And let Him be that shepherd of your life. Because brothers and sisters, the beauty of this King is He comes not to gain wealth and power for Himself, but He comes to pour down His power and His wealth upon us. To fill our hearts with His love. To fill the broken weaknesses of our lives with His strength.
Amen.
And to lead us to the true, beautiful kingdom of God that is beyond anything that we will ever imagine. Let Jesus be your shepherd. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord. We thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ. That, Father, that He came to this earth, that He walked with us, that He lived with us, that He showed us what it's like to walk Your path. Father, we are so thankful that He was willing to sacrifice His life so that each and every one of us could be clean. That each and every one of us could be innocent before Your eyes. Lord, what we pray for today is that we realize as a people not only are we saved, Lord, but that, Father, we are part of Your family. And that Your dream is not just to save us, but also, Lord, to lead us to sit by the right hand of Jesus. To lead us to be a people of power, a people of love, a people of victory. Father, we are so thankful for the lives that You give each and every one of us. And we are thankful, Lord, most of all for You. Father, we love You. And in the precious name of Jesus, we pray.